Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Speaks to a truth of our time in North America and the world. In the 21st century, we are defined not by our borders, but by our bonds. So I say to you and to the Mexican people, let us stand together. Let us face the future together. Let us work together. Trabajemos juntos.
Mm-hmm. And now we have an exclusive release of the new national anthem proposed just now by President Obama. Say bye-bye to America the Beautiful, and say welcome to America the Tijuana. Beautiful culture, beautiful people, but you know what? That's what borders are for. Welcome to the Savage Nation. That's what defines a nation. Now, anyone who's taken high school biology remembers how your teacher defined a cell. Do you remember I taught you this years ago? You remember when you were in high school, you have to be a genius. A cell, they said, here's a plant cell, here's an animal cell. The first thing the teacher told you was, you define a cell because they had cell walls if they were plants, plant cells, or they had cell membranes if they're animal cells. In other words, the cell was defined by something on the outside of it that held it together. The cell wall or the cell membrane is the equivalent of a national border. And without a cell membrane, what happens to the cell? It dies. If you puncture a cell membrane, the protoplasm oozes out, and the cell dies. Without such borders, a nation bursts and dies. The same is true of America. If the borders of a nation are dissolved, the nation dies. What's amazing to me is that this corrupt administration, this gangster administration, this criminal incompetent administration is spending tens of millions of dollars building a border station on the border between Vermont and Canada. All the same time, President Obama-Dinejad, at the same time he is saying there are no borders, President Obama-Dinejad is spending tens of millions of dollars to build a border patrol station with Canada. It makes no sense. This is breaking news on the Savage Nation. Our National Intelligence Director, Admiral Blair, was just fired. He'll be thrown out as early as Friday. And, of course, the reason he is fired is because, well, you can't blame him, or can you blame him? I mean, Obama needs another fall guy for Napolitano. It's Napolitano who should go, but she's a woman. And, of course, she's a designated important woman, a very important woman, because she was such an incompetent governor. There was only one place for her, and that was in the federal government. Because she didn't protect the people of her state, she was guaranteed a position in the federal government. Anyway, she was just, I guess she's rewarded, but he's fired. Dennis Blair is out, and you can celebrate and say that's great, but you better watch out who he's going to put in there. I mean, who is he going to select? Obama just announced he's going to replace Director of National Intelligence Dennis Blair. We know why. One intelligence failure after another. Fort Hood massacre. Failed Christmas Day underwear bomber. Failed Times Square bombing. Investigation. So now Blair was tasked with coordinating the 16 intelligence agencies and getting them to cooperate and share information. On top of it all is a guy who I still can't believe is the head of the CIA, a man with no background in intelligence, Leon Panetta, whose last known job was running a mediocre unknown college in Monterey, California. A man with zero qualifications was put in charge of the CIA. because that's what Obama specializes in, incompetent leftists. The question is, again, who is going to become the new National Director of Intelligence or whatever their position may be, the man who supposedly puts it all together. God only knows who he's going to pick for this one. You cannot necessarily blame Admiral Blair, by the way. The fact of the matter is there were scathing failures by the Obama administration, one after the other. Blair himself said the other day that, quote, institutional and technological barriers remain that prevent seamless sharing of information, whatever that means. You know, everything is doublespeak. So there it is. It's a question of who he's going to put in there. Obama destroys the border with the speech of a lifetime. I couldn't believe it. And we have to now look at the state dinner. As you well know, they eat foods that we, the ordinary peasants, don't get. I always enjoy looking at state dinner menus like there's something really special. But this one is really special because if you look at some of the incredibly high people that were invited, I mean, there was Whoopi Goldberg, one of the highest of American people, one of the people who has achieved so much in her life that she is worthy of being invited into a White House state dinner. But then when you consider who's giving the state dinner and who was invited to the state dinner and who the state dinner was for, Whoopi Goldberg was perfect for it. So the chef produced the following menu, yikima with oranges, grapefruit, and pineapple. I don't know about you, I'm not a big yikima fan. Citrus vinaigrette, well, that means what? That's a salad dressing. The wine was Ulysses Valdez Chardonnay 2007 Russian River, Pucola, instant migraine. Put one touch to my tongue and give a spit out in the tasting cup. Herb green ceviche of Hawaiian opa, big deal. And it comes with a cracker, a sesame cilantro cracker on the order of what you'd get on United Airlines on a flight to Atlanta. That's top of the line. They then had a fabulous main course, Oregon Wagyu beef in wok and black mole. I haven't any idea what Wagyu beef is. Pardon me. And I don't know what Oaxacan black mole is. I guess it's some kind of horrendous sauce. They then had black bean tamalon and grilled green beans, another fancy name for frozen green beans. That was followed by another fabulous wine that you wouldn't give to a patient in a nut house, Herrera Cabernet Sauvignon Selección Rebecca. Hello? Real top of the line. Picked by real experts in the wine department here. Now, the dessert at the state dinner, we just got that as well. The dessert was a chocolate cajeta tart. No, sorry, that was not a dessert, but that was Whoopi Goldberg performing a cartwheel. That was followed by toasted homemade marshmallows. Whoops, not a dessert. Those were the four Republican rhinos invited to the dinner. Another dessert item was Graham cracker crumble and goat cheese ice cream. Sorry, that was Bob Dole in an undershirt doing a cartwheel. And finally, they were served a dessert wine, Mum Napa Carlos Santana Brut. I don't know about you, but I'm not impressed. Play some music, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Savage Nation. We're open for business. I'm drinking my seltzer. I got the oil cloth under my feet. Remind me of my roots. Response, nothing. Talking to myself. Hear the whole spiel already. I got a call from Hunger on the Board. You know, I was bicycling around the nature pond today. Every day I go on a little bike ride, and every day I look at the pond because I just like the pond. That's all. What I like most about the pond are the white, they have, what are these birds? These tall ones from Africa. I'm sorry it escapes me right now, but I like to watch them how they hunt for a fish, how patient they are. They're on the order of whatever. I can't remember the name, and I don't want to give the wrong name. But I watch how stealthily they wait for a fish, and it reminds me of the American population on welfare that wouldn't even know how to catch a fish if you gave them a fishing rod. There used to be a statement, give them a fishing rod, not a fish. But you have a population of millions of people today that only want the fish, not the fishing rod. Anyway, I'm looking at the pond. And I see a teacher there teaching the children about the nature around the pond. And it brought me back to when I was a youngster and I would go to, you know, a pond with a teacher. And how amazed I was when I first learned what goes on beneath the surface of the water. You know, on the face of it, a pond may be a very calm place. Maybe there's a few ducks or a few mosquitoes buzzing around. But the deeper you go beneath the pond's surface, the deeper you discover the constant battle and war that's going on beneath the surface of the pond, which is exactly what I do for you here on the Savage Nation. On the surface, Obama tries to retain a calm persona, as though he's just simply helping the poor, he's a Robin Hood, or he's fixing what George Bush broke. But if you look deeper beneath the surface, what you see is that he's completely re-engineering all of America, destroying one edifice after another, taking apart one great achievement after another, debasing one great achiever after another, replacing them with great deceivers. That's Obama the deceiver. And what do I mean by that? Well, let me spell it out for you. We all know about the taking over of General Motors and the lie that they'd repay their loan. We know about the bailout of his friends on Wall Street with the $1 trillion stimulus fund that Pelosi engineered that has not yet trickled down to anybody except their friends on Wall Street. We know about the destruction of the greatest healthcare system the world had ever seen to be replaced with something yet to be seen. We also know about his desire to denuke America in order to permit who? Russia and China to prevail? We also know that Obama-Dinajad wants to destroy NASA and end U.S. dominance in space to permit what? Russia and China to gain the advantage in space weaponry? You understand what's going on beneath the surface? And yet it gets worse by the day. A president who was sworn to uphold the Constitution and to defend the people? Yes? Well, this pretender has the nerve to get up and state yesterday that a nation is not defined by its borders. This all the while America is being overrun by illegal aliens, bringing in drugs, bringing in crime, bringing in illegal aliens by the millions. It is unbelievable that a president can say a thing like this without being challenged by anyone in Congress. No, Mr. Obama, you're wrong. No, Mr. Obama, actually what you said is impeachable. No, Mr. Obama, you're violating your oath of office. No, Mr. Obama, a nation is very much defined by its borders, its language, and its culture. Not by a petty martinet dictator who says otherwise. This is the Savage Nation. That's my monologue. Let's hear some music. Let's get the calls up at 1-800-449-8255. Go to michaelsavage.com. Whatever. I'll be back. This will become the new national anthem of America. It's in second place, according to whatever. What a country, my God. Who would have thought? Wake up. You can't believe it. As though a foreign government took over the country. Are we allowed to talk about Michelle Obama's lack of style? Do you think it was appropriate for a first lady to appear in, I mean, how do I begin talking about this? Shall I say classless? Does that work? Shall I say embarrassing? Does that work? Shall I say what world do they live in? Does that work? I mean, would you imagine a first lady appearing in... First of all, address itself, I don't like it. Tasteless, but that's a matter of taste. But what's with the sleeve off? I mean, what is that? She's got to be sexy? A first lady has to be sexy? She can't be sexy. That's number one. I don't understand this, but why would a first lady want to be sexy, per se? We need a pinup for a first lady? Again, nothing. Like a dead zone, all right? So look, I'm giving you the whole thing up and down. You're not interested in any of it. You don't care about national intelligence being fired. You don't care about the president saying that there's no borders anymore because he originally said it. You know. All right, so we'll give you something on a lower level here. This just came out from a so-called judge in New York City. This you're not going to believe. A judge in New York City is what justice is to military justice. A judge in New York City is what you're basically a night school lawyer who had enough money in a bag in Grand Central Station to get the job. But and having said that, did it disappear already? I just saw it. It said that it said that you could use the word schmeckle in school. Here it is. Slang terms okay for body parts and sex ed, says judge. It's okay to say schmeckle in sex ed class. A Brooklyn federal judge said that a Staten Island teacher of 26 years acted correctly when she allowed students to use words like, I can't even say it, I mean the other words are horrible. One of them was schmeckle and the others are terrible to teach a sex ed HIV AIDS class in public school. and is allowing her to sue the Ed Department for suspending her. Oh, God. It's the Board of Education wants a teacher to instruct adolescents about HIV using Latinism of the academy, excluding vulgarism of the street. It should tell them so, plainly wrote Judge Jack Weinstein. Oh, Jack Weinstein is a communist rat gangster, in my opinion. Jack Weinstein is a judge? I know. I mean, I've studied this man's cases over the years. Let's go back to Don, whatever his name was. Big Don, whatever, who died in prison in Marriott, Illinois. I forget it. The Teflon Don. Weinstein, Judge Weinstein. Remember he threw out the conviction? Judge Weinstein. He's 89 years old. He worked on the NAACP's litigation team on the landmark Brown versus Board of Education case. So give you some idea of his heritage. Now, this is a man, if there was justice in the world, at age 90, he'd be called before a tribunal. And he'd say, all right, next case, next leftist who destroyed America. What's your name? Jack Weinstein, Your Honor. And what did you do for a living? I was a judge. Where, Your Honor? New York City. Oh, you were? Okay. You're hereby sentenced to become a sex ed teacher in Zimbabwe for the rest of your natural life. Next case. How in the world could he allow him to use words like, Schmeckle, you don't know what it means, so I can say it on the radio, but the other words, I wish I could say them in a classroom? Don't call about this. I'm not a prude. Jack Weinstein is a liberal crackpot. Jack Weinstein exemplifies the tyranny of the bench, where I see nothing but a stench. The stench from the bench is making me clench. Jack Weinstein is a real clencher. He's a rat bum. He's the kind of judge who says that parents have no rights. Children have more rights than their own parents. Welfare recipients have more rights than those who pay their bills. Illegal aliens have more rights than citizens. In other words, Jack Weinstein would be a perfect pick for Obama to put on the Supreme Court. In other words, if Judge Kagan were a man and 89 years old, she'd be Jack Weinstein. That's all. So what do you want to talk about? The state dinner? Ceviche? I mean, don't get me wrong. I had Mexican food for lunch and then Alka-Seltzer for dessert. So don't think I don't know what I'm talking about.
Savage.
Seeing migration of tropical diseases to temperate latitudes. The flow of refugees from some of the low-lying island nations. The subprime mortgages in the global economy went into crisis. And if they look around them and see a world filled with chaos because the predictions of the scientists were allowed to come true, they would be justified in looking back and asking, what were you thinking?
I have no idea how this man gets up in the morning and looks in the mirror. That's Al Gorleone, the head of the Gorleone Crime Syndicate, in my opinion. Perhaps, until 2 years ago, the head of the greatest scam in the history of the world. But recently we've discovered that only the fraudsters and the imbecilic, non-educated actually still believe in man-induced global warming. And that would include millions of Americans who voted for Obama. So what can I say? Michelle's dress might get more of a comment than the ceviche. I don't really know. I mean, what can you say about it? You want to talk about the judge, Jack Weinstein, allowing the word schmeckle in a classroom? I mean, is that a topic? You want to talk about money, the stock market collapsing today again? Or a former Russian beauty queen busted on drug smuggling charges? I mean, there's so much news, you know, I don't know where the people want to go. I could get very worked up over a president saying that a nation is not defined by its borders. In fact, to me, it's seditious. To me, he should be impeached, frankly. In fact, I've never been in a time like this where a president says he's going to dismantle our nuclear arsenal and not a word from Congress. The man says he's going to destroy NASA and end U.S. space supremacy, not a word from Congress. I mean, we all know about the other stuff, AIG. I don't even want to go into that. GM, that they bailed out and said it's profitable but never paid back its money, not supposed to notice that either. One thing after another without virtually a peep from the midstream media. They're like M&Ms in pants. They sit there like M&Ms in pants as show props for Junior Doc Duvalier. And now he wants to put in one of the most incompetent people in history on the Supreme Court. one of the most incompetent people in the history of the law about to be foisted onto the Supreme Court. She opposes the First Amendment, unless she agrees with what you say. She opposes the Second Amendment unless the guns are in the hands of her own bodyguards. But that doesn't occur to the press to be worrisome to them, because there is no press. How many times have I said the Fourth Estate has become the fifth column? How many times do I have to say it until you finally hear me? We have a Mexican president, a third world nation, the leader of a corrupt third world nation, comes to my country and gives a speech to my Congress, and he gets a standing ovation when he attacks this nation. But I expect that from the likes of a Nancy Pelosi and the dimwit, the vice president, whatever his name is. No one can remember anyway. The only vice president anybody can remember is the laughingstock, Al Gore. So you want to talk about that? You want to talk about the market? Down 376 points, or that doesn't matter to you? Boo-hoo? I mean, I'm not in the market, so I don't really, you know, have much to say about it. U.S. benchmark index is losing the most in more than a year as reports cast doubts about the strength of the economic recovery and European leaders struggle to contain the region's debt crisis. Commodities plunge and treasury soared. The S&P, well, you know, I mean, you know about this. It's not good. It's not something to celebrate. It's something that's bad to see a thing like this happening. Now, many people say, oh, who cares? I'm not in the market. You really should care, actually, because it's a it's an indicator of the health of the nation. Truthfully, even though it's all fake now. See, there was a day when the stock market was actually an investment in companies, and if the company was profitable and it reported earnings that were legitimate, the stock went up. That was a long time ago in American history, before the gangsters took over government and Wall Street. Before the oligarchs took over Wall Street and government, the stock market was a way for the average man to build some equity in companies that he could never build himself or own himself. But he could have stock in that company. And so he would buy into the blue chips. And if the blue chips did well, he did well. And he felt that he was part of the American dream. But that all went away under Bill Clinton, who destroyed the Glass-Steagall Act. Bill Clinton was the beginning of the end of the actual realities of the stock market. And it only got worse under Bush. Because as you well know, there's been a seamless transition of the oligarchs, which I would trace back to the era of Bill Clinton. The oligarchs began under Bill Clinton, and it hasn't ended yet. It's only gotten, you know, magnified. So succinctly, yes, although the stock market is not based on reality anymore, any more than the dollar is based upon gold, still in all, we want a healthy stock market, and we want a healthy dollar. So let's not celebrate this. We know the reasons that it's happening. We know that Europe is imploding because the Eurozone, so to speak, which is what Obama really is hinting at with the North American Free Trade Agreement. Remember we heard allegations years ago when you said it was all right-wing lunacy when they talked about a North American Union where the oligarchs would try to fuse the United States, Canada, and Mexico in one new nation? Well, that's exactly what they've been doing since Bill Clinton. Remember the great controversy of building highways for Mexican trucks highways for semis to come through from Texas into Texas from Mexico without inspections? And we said, are you crazy? And Bush did it. So look, don't tell me it's all Obama, because I'm not going to buy it. The oligarchy started with all seriousness under Clinton. It got much worse under Bush. And now it's, of course, catastrophic under Obama. And so we don't know how this ends, but we do know that it has to end for us to retain the sovereignty of this nation. But now let's look at the euro and the eurozone. The people opposed, in every country where they were permitted to vote, they opposed joining the European Union, the same way you oppose erasing the borders with Mexico. But the oligarchs, who basically are about a dozen men who are the most vile, evil men in the history of the world. Remember Dr. Evil in some of the movies? Well, guess what? He actually exists. He buys and sells currencies. He buys and sells currencies and busts nations overnight. He breaks them over his knee. He's a man. He has a name. I'm not going to give you the name, but you know the name. Yes, yes, you know the name. There are just a few men like that who can buy and sell a nation's currencies, and they hold them hostage. In a sane time, they would be arrested and sent to Devil's Island. In a sane time, their assets would have been seized, and they would have been sent out of the nation that let them in, because this man was an immigrant to this country. This particular man was a refugee to this country, but this man paid us back by breaking the country over his knee and foisting upon us the most horrendous president imaginable. Yes, this man has a name, and he is the arch enemy of all of your freedoms. But this man has a design, which is a one-world government run by a few oligarchs. No borders, no nationality, no national anthems, no flags. In fact, I don't know if there would be a language permitted, a language differential in the long run. You know, there was a talk years ago. Remember, 60 years ago, there was a hope from the UN that there'd be an international language known as Esperanto. Remember, I grew up under the aura of the concept of a world government. I was a young boy when this was talked about. Esperanto. We'd all give up our language and we'd learn a world language called Esperanto. But you don't hear about Esperanto anymore. Today, Esperanto is something different. Today, Esperanto has become currency manipulation. So to get back to the Eurozone, the Europeans are now calling it the Euro Transfer Zone because the Germans are being asked to transfer their thrifty savings into the hands of the degenerate losers in lazy nations such as Spain, Portugal, and Greece, nations where the people don't want to work, by and large, lazy bums. The Mediterranean laziness has come back to haunt the hardworking German. The hardworking, thrifty German who saved is being sacked, being punished for saving, and they want to now take their money and transfer to the bum nations, such as Greece and Spain and Portugal, the lazy nations, the sleepy nations, the Mediterranean sleepy drunks who want the money from the hardworking, thrifty Germans. So the people are calling it the Euro Transfer Zone, and that's why there's such trouble in the world currencies right now. Because here in America, the oligarchs are afraid that this could pull down the United States economy even further and that we are into bailing out the bums in Europe, the lazy bums in Greece in particular right now, and Spain. I think it's to the tune of, 17% of the bailout will be you again. You, the schmuck. You, the schmendrick, will pay for it again. You will have to pay for it again through Goldman Sachs, Citibank, and the five or six oligarchs who laugh over fine wine on yachts in the Caribbean while you toil and slave and worry about your grandchildren. They have no such worries because these are men without a country. These are men without a nation. These are internationalists. These are the very internationalists who we've been warned about for well over a number of decades now, only they're running the world. It's no longer a threat. It's a reality. Now we can also talk about North Korea. Several years ago, North Korea was not a threat to the world. Several years ago, the North Koreans were trying to launch missiles. And with a little help from their Democrat friends, they got the technology to launch missiles. At that time, George Bush was advised by his hawks to send a few naval assets into the area and to destroy the launching pads, the launching platforms of North Korea before they were able to launch a nuclear weapon. George Bush did not do so. As a result, we now have a first-class terrorist nation. And of course, the Democratic Republic of Korea, the southern South Korea, had one of their warships sunk by a North Korean torpedo, which they put on display, by the way. And again, Hillary Clinton did nothing. Barack Obama did nothing. And so we're in very, very dangerous times right now. The world is a tinderbox all over again. You have a repeat of history. You have an economic crisis in the world. You have despotic nations attacking or threatening to attack their neighbors. You have a pacifist running the United States of America the very same way that we had a pacifist running England, a man who, with his labor counterparts, in the 1930s, did not want to look Hitler in the eye. They wanted to look away. They wanted to put their heads in the sand. Fortunately for England, they had a hawk who was building up the military, building up the British Navy, building up the Air Force. Do you realize that had the British not fought in the Battle of Britain against Hitler's planes and had those boys not sacrificed their lives, they would have taken England. The Germans would have taken England. The Nazis would have beaten the English, and that would have been over. Do you realize that the whole war hung on the backs of a few brave men and a few visionaries such as Winston Churchill? And what was one of Obama's first acts when he was put into the White House by the oligarchs? what was one of the first acts of this imposter. He took the bust of one of the great men of the last century, Winston Churchill, and he sent it back to England. Should that not have told you what to expect? Should that not have told you which side he was on? Can't you put two and two together and come up with zero? I'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, sometimes nature speaks to us in ways that man cannot. And sometimes things occur that are so astonishing that they're indicative of what's coming. The story just came out with a picture we're putting up on MichaelSavage.com that Drudge missed. Rodent scurries by as Obama lauds Wall Street vote. Did you hear about this? Obama's giving a speech today about the taking on Wall Street. And as he's speaking, a rat runs by in front of the podium. As photographers snapped away, the critter trundled straight past the great podium within the presidential seal and made a beeline for another set of bushes to Obama's left. A debate erupted among the photographers and reporters who'd witnessed the rat. Was it a rat or a mouse? Was it a mole or a vole? Was it a currency trader who was time-shifting? Did he give up currency trading for the moment and come out from behind his stacks of gold? But there it was. A rodent runs in front of the podium as Obama's giving a speech on Wall Street. And you make of it what you want. It's just a rodent, after all. Washington is built along a river on what used to be a malarial swamp. Nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's quite indicative of things to come. And that's the story of a rodent scurrying by as Obama lauds the Wall Street vote. Going up on MichaelSavage.com. Almost sounded like a regular radio show. Well, it could be. I can do a regular radio show. So now let's listen to Senor Calderon from the cauldron known as Mexico, lecturing about climate change, something I'm sure he is an expert on.
The well-being of both our peoples depends not only in our ability to face regional challenges, but global ones as well. That is the case of climate change. Climate change is one of humanity's more pressing threats. Global warming demands the commitment of all nations, both developed and developing countries. That is why Mexico was the first developing country to commit to emissions reduction targets and programs.
We are right, working sure. Hard. Of course you'll commit to it because you don't produce anything in Mexico that's worth anything. Of course you'll commit to it because you got nothing to lose. All you're going to do is gain from the scam. I can't believe it. Even he's getting in on the climate scam. They all want to take more of your money under the guise of protecting the environment. What nerve this guy has to come to my country, my clean, beautiful nation, and lecture us on how we should run this nation? You know, let him focus on his own country and the problems down there instead of coming here. And you want to talk about migration and immigration? Why don't we look at how Mexico treats illegal immigrants from Guatemala? And then we can listen to him on how we ought to treat our immigrants and our illegal immigrants in the United States of America. It's unbelievable to me, the lies and how they get away with it because the Fourth Estate's become the fifth column. All right, what do you want to talk about in the Savage Nation? I've talked, you've listened. Now it's time for you to talk so I can listen. I want to hear more Calderon, though. Let me hear clip three. I want to hear more Calderon. That's very invocative.
President Calderon is working hard to create jobs so that more Mexicans see a future of opportunity in their country. To fix our broken immigration system, I reaffirmed my deep commitment to working with Congress in a bipartisan way to pass comprehensive immigration reform.
Comprehensive. What is wrong with this man that he seems to think he has to push things down the throats of the people that they don't want? Have you ever lived through a time when a president would keep forcing his will upon the people over and over and over and over? He forced health care down our throats. Every candidate he's come to bat for, four in a row, have lost. He cannot read the tea leaves because he's delusional. This man is delusional as sure as I am sitting here. He is surrounded by yes men who put him in office, and he's taking himself seriously, and he actually believes that he is the new Messiah. He passes things that the people detest. He goes to bat for candidates like Specter who lose, and the very next day he gets up and again pushes something that is so unpopular that it's sure to sink the Democrat Party even further. You look at any poll, whether it's Democrat in California, they're all against illegal immigration. They're all against granting amnesty to illegal aliens. That's even amongst Democrats. And yet this far-left radical president continues to push an agenda that is so out of touch with the mainstream of America that people are astounded. And again, I have to revert to a story I saw the other day. Again, unfortunately, it has to do with wealthy Jewish donors to the Democrat Party, because unfortunately, most wealthy Jews give to the Democrat Party. Unfortunately, they're delusional. And unfortunately, most of them, although they made their fortunes, have no concept of survival when it comes to Israel. And so after they gave all their money to Obama, they were shocked to wake up that a man who sat in the church that hated Jews and hated Israel for 20 years, they were shocked to find out that the president basically put a knife in Israel's back. And so the wealthy donors to the Democrat Party, who happen to be of Jewish descent, suddenly said, we're not giving them any more money. So now they're doing damage control, spin control. They're sending Rahm Emanuel around, you know, like because he's an Israeli, suddenly he's a good man. But the fact of the matter is, some of these wealthy donors said, it was reported by AP, they said that Obama is delusional. So they woke up a year and a half later to the fact that they were tricked by a delusional man. What does that say about them? That perhaps they are delusional to have thought otherwise of a man who sat and associated with such vile men as Reverend Wright? Why don't you look at his friends and then you'll find out who was delusional? Those who supported him were delusional.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Recently adopted law in Arizona to introduce a terrible idea using racial profiling as a basis for law enforcement. And that is why I agree with the president who said the new law carries a great amount of risk when core values that we all care about are breached.
What it's come to. North American Union. Obama says a nation is not defined by our borders. To me, he's committed treason. A president's job is to defend the people, to uphold the Constitution. The man says we're not defined by our borders. Therefore, he is violating his oath of office. But as you well know, his oath of office unto itself is suspect. Because there are millions of people who do not believe he's a legitimate citizen. Now, I understand we're not going to talk about that right now because it's going to get us nowhere, so we'll let that one go. But it doesn't matter to me whether he was born in Indonesia or Kenya or Honolulu. It doesn't matter to me at all right now. What matters to me is that he's acting as though he was not born in America or that he's not an American. He fundamentally is acting as though he's a member of a foreign government that has done a hostile takeover of the United States of America. If a country hostile to America did a hostile takeover of this country the way that you see hostile takeovers in the corporate world, and they put their own CEO in, he would do just what Obama is doing, which is say, the hell with the people. I don't care what you think. I'll pass one unpopular law after another because that's what my bosses want. So you invite Calderon, the leader of a failed nation, to a nation that's in turmoil over illegal immigration, deputies being killed in Arizona, the people just voting to stop it because the government won't protect them, and you have the head of government inviting the head of a government that's responsible for this deluge of illegal aliens to come here and stick his finger in the eye of the American people. It's astounding to me that you see a state dinner and they invite a failed comedian who was not hot when she was hot. 30 years ago, she was a loser, and they make her a big star there. Whoopi Goldberg invited on the guest list. Can you imagine? Our greatest heroes not invited. The great heroes of the Iraq War, the Afghan War, not invited. Astronauts, not invited. Spies who came in from the cold, not invited. People who have sacrificed for this nation, not invited. Instead, filled with, well, you figure it out. Dow dives 376 points. Why? Unemployment, my friends. U.S. markets are reflecting what's going on in Europe right now, where they're calling the Eurozone the Euro transfer zone, where they're transferring the savings of the hardworking Germans to the lazy bums of Greece in this case, and Spain, the lazy Mediterraneans who are held up as role models by liberals. Oh, I went to Europe. They all come back glowing about the drunks of Europe, or the pretty boys who pose in cafes, the pretty boys who have never worked a day in their lives, the pretty boys who have Obamacare in Europe, the pretty boys whose underwear is ironed by their mothers in Italy, the pretty boys who play in cafes looking for a tourist to take home to bed. Those are the role models of Nancy Pelosi. Those are the role models of Nancy Pelosi when she says if you're a musician in San Francisco, you no longer have to keep your day job and be job bound. You can now relax because the government's going to give you free health care. So relax, enjoy yourself, become like the bums of Italy, the bums of Greece, the bums of Spain. Sit around and smoke your medical marijuana given to you by the government. Sit and drink your wine and pursue your, well, whatever you want to pursue, as long as you don't really know what we're doing with you. As we dissolve your borders, as we dissolve your language, as we dissolve your culture. The lady with the hammer. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I mean, look, you know where I stand on these issues, so I don't have to say it anymore, right? I think it's time now for me to have you say some things because I've talked and I think it's time for you to talk. I think it's a disgrace that this man would keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing his rotten radical agenda, these failed policies of Europe. He's trying to push them into America. But it's worse than that. On the level of national security, saying he wants to get rid of our nuclear weapons by one-third, saying he wants to eliminate NASA's space program, and again, not a word from the media about what this actually means in terms of giving the advantage to China and to Russia. No one sees the bigger picture. I do. I can't be the only one who sees it. Now, I have told you this, and I'm not going to talk about it now because it's premature to do so. I have written what I think will be my last political book. I don't think I will ever write another one. It's going to come out in September. It's from a major publisher. I'm not going to tell you anymore. It was one of their biggest books of the year. It will be one of their biggest books of the year. It was, believe me, a monster book. I'm not self-publishing this one. Many bid for this book. It's going to be the quin sa non of the Obama books, I can guarantee you. But it just doesn't lay out what he has done. It just doesn't tell you what he's going to do, but it tells you how to stop the man and how you must stop the man. And how you have to reverse what he has done. And so we get back to what he said yesterday. Play clip one again.
Your visit speaks to a truth of our time in North America and the world. In the 21st century, we are defined not by our borders, but by our bonds. So I say to you and to the Mexican people, let us stand together.
All right, hold on now. He is violating his oath of office where he swears to uphold the Constitution. He's not upholding the Constitution. And I believe that he's infringed upon his oath of office to such a serious extent that this is worthy of a congressional hearing. He then, in clip three, after saying that we don't have borders, says something about protecting borders in clip three. Listen to this if you want to talk about inconsistency.
President Calderon is working hard to create jobs so that more Mexicans see a future of opportunity in their country. to fix our broken immigration system, I reaffirmed my deep commitment to working with Congress in a bipartisan way to pass comprehensive immigration reform. And comprehensive reform means accountability for everybody. Government that is accountable for securing the border, businesses being held accountable when they exploit workers, people who break the law by breaching our borders being held accountable by paying taxes.
People who break the law by breaching our borders. Now, in clip one, he said that we don't have borders. He said a nation is not defined by our borders. In the same speech, he says those who breach our borders have to be held accountable. I think the accountability has to start at the top. I think the buck stops there. And I think that unless we put troops on the border with Mexico, Arizona is doing exactly the right thing. And I believe that when one state after another follows Arizona, you're going to see a turnaround in this country of the kind we need to save us from the destruction of Obama the Destroyer. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I want to recognize the hard work and leadership of many of you in the Senate and in the House, and of President Obama, who are determined to find responsible and objective answers to this issue. I am convinced that a comprehensive immigration reform is also crucial to securing our common border.
Yeah, well, why don't you southern border with Guatemala? Rape suspect deported four times, Edmonds, Washington. A man accused of raping a woman behind an Edmonds grocery store had been deported at least four times in the past 15 years. An officer responding to a woman's cry for help Sunday night found 46-year-old Jose Madrigal on top of the woman and arrested him. Now, let's pause right there. What if the officer had asked him his immigration status while his pants were down? I guess that would be considered racist to the mayor of Los Angeles. The man was found on top of a woman with his pants down. He had been deported four times. So in Arizona, they'd be able to ask him in the middle of a rape what his immigration status is, and that would be considered racist? Obama said that that's worrisome, that the man's civil rights are being violated. But apparently in Washington, they couldn't ask him his immigration status. I'm surprised they're even able to arrest him. Rape suspect deported four times, but, well, hey, maybe the officer looked at him because he was a racist officer. Not that the woman was crying for help. See, if it was Jack Weinstein, the judge, and a shyster lawyer flew out, let's say, from NYU, he would say that although the woman was crying for help, the officer had no right to intervene in the love affair, even though he was on top of her in an alleyway, because she was just giving a love cry to the judge's mind. That was a love cry. And 46-year-old Jose Madrigal, although he had been deported four times, it was not the officer's business. And so, therefore, the officer should be arrested for having violated the rapist's civil rights. And the actual rape that occurred was the rape of civil rights laws by the officer. That's the world upside down. That's the world according to Obama. Of course, you don't want to accept it because it makes too much sense. Only morons, cheats, and liars still believe in global warming, says James Dellingpole. A great article on Michael Savage, the most beautiful Ferraris of all time. I posted from CNBC. It's nice if you like looking at beautiful cars. And for those of you who are pot smokers who think you're green, it's the most ungreen of all crops. Marijuana is the most ungreen of all crops. Many of you potheads don't know that. You're too stupid and stoned to know that. Let's say you're 25 years old and you stay at home and your mother takes care of you and you now have Obamacare. What you don't know is that it's a very ungreen crop. Fertilizers, pesticides are used to grow it. Did you know the following facts I'm about to give you? You're not going to believe it. I linked it up today. I could not believe it. Forget about the fact that 24,000 people have died in turf wars over drugs in Mexico since the end of 06. Forget that millions of people have had their lives destroyed in one way or another so you could get high. What you don't know is that your marijuana is filled with pesticides and fertilizers. That's number one. What you also don't know is that 40% of all national forests in the United States are home to illegal pot grows. 40%. What you don't know is that in California, 80% of the growers working on federal lands are not citizens. What you don't know is that the fertilizers and irrigation pipes are doing permanent damage to forest ecosystems in the forests of America. and the piles of trash and feces left behind by growers so that you can get high, you bum you. Don't tell me you're green. If you're a pot smoker, you're not green. You're greedy. So the fact of the matter is, you're not green at all. You may think you are because that's part of the delusion. Part of the delusion. So there it is. What do you want to talk about? The thin green line. Calderon lecturing America. Al Gore finally coming out from under the ground. Remember I told you you wouldn't see him in the winter? He never appears in the winter in the midst of blizzards. Blizzards, snowstorms, and you keep saying Al Gore was Al Gore was Al Gore. I mean, it was almost biblical, the winter we had. And there was no Al Gore to answer to the commonsensical questions like, where's global warming now that we don't need you? No Al Gore. The minute the winter is over, here he comes. Here he comes, the man who invented the internet. The man who wrote Love Story. Al Gore is suddenly saying that the floods in Nashville were caused by global warming. If it was 200 years from now, and we survive Obama, and the country survives what's going on, God willing, and 100 years from now, people look back of what we are living through, which I do almost every day. I try to actually put it in context. And I say, how would people 100 years from now look at the fact that a man with virtually no experience is shoehorned into the presidency and the people accept it? And he continues to violate the Constitution on a daily basis. He continues to pass one unpopular, vast, monstrous measure after another. And there's virtually no outcry. And the only people who say a word are smeared by the fifth column, which used to be known as an independent press. They'll look back upon this time and maybe they'll laugh at some of this. Maybe they'll draw pictures of a man named Al Gore, for example. And they'll say that the man never appeared in the winter when there was vast snowstorms. Instead, he came out in hot weather and talked about global warming in order to sell a fraudulent bill. Maybe they'll show a man with big ears who speaks with a deep voice, who comes from an unknown background, who virtually dismantled America before, just in the nick of time, God intervened to save America. Because I actually believe biblically he is a character from biblical times. And there have been some suggestions, by the way, of who Obama is actually a reincarnation of. Because I believe archetypes repeat themselves. I've told you Ahmadinejad is King Haman of ancient Persia. I told you that Ahmadinejad of Iran is a repeat of King Haman and then of Adolf Hitler. Now we have Ahmadinejad. Again, the press should know that, but they don't know that. But I know that because I see all. I have a cosmic eye. I can see forward. I can see backward. I can see straight ahead. I could be the man in the street. I could be the man upstairs. I talk to the man upstairs. I talk to the man in the street. So I tell you, I have one view of the world that's very much my own. It's distinctly my world view. And I'm not asking you to accept every word I say as gospel. I'm telling you, though, that if you look back upon what this man is doing to the country 100 years from now, that's assuming that we survive the devastation. People will ask, how did the American people permit this to go on? How could such outright fraudistry continue to occur without a vast uprising? How is it possible? How did the people not rise up and demand that he be impeached for what he's doing? How? How could he get away with it? How could he invite the head of a failed third world nation to come to America in the midst of the greatest debate on immigration the country has ever had and lecture the people, telling them that they're wrong and they're racist and they're violating civil rights by simply demanding that the law be followed? How could a man get away with this, they will ask, 100 years from now. But you won't ask that question today, will you? You won't hear that ask today, will you? You won't hear that ask for one reason. I keep saying to people why it's happening. Because the fourth estate has become the fifth column. Now, I've repeated that statement over the last 6 months about 100 times, if not more. The problem is many of you don't know what the fourth estate was, nor do you know what the fifth column is. But I think after a while you'll get the drift of it. So the next time you hear one of the empty skirts, you'll know that they're a member of the fifth column.
Savage.
This is a battle that has to be fought because the future of our families is at stake. We cannot ignore. We'll win, but we cannot ignore the fact that the challenge to our security has roots on both sides of the border. At the end of the day, its origin is the high demand for drugs here and in other places.
All right. Here's one that a fellow talk show host just sent me from New York. Illegal alien arrested after striking four teenagers and treating them like debris, flinging two of them off his hood, then taking off. Illegal alien, Mr. Garcia, from Guatemala, no license. Mr. Illegal alien from Guatemala, no license. And he ran, treated the girls like debris. But a man stopped and ran after him. The day laborer jerked his car to a stop, forcing the two victims to fall off the hood so he could make his getaway. As Garcia, the illegal alien, took off, leaving the four victims in the street, Good Samaritan Steve Loverde sprang into action, determined not to let the illegal alien hit and runner get away. I jumped into my car, I made a U-turn, and chased him down, and he must have been going about 90 miles an hour, Loverde told CBS2. I pulled him out of the car, and I took his keys away, and I just threw them on the grass and made the 911 call. Loverde stopped Garcia and detained him until police arrived. It turned out Garcia is an illegal alien from Guatemala who doesn't even have a license to drive, which explains why he took off. So, I guess in some circles, Loverde would not be considered a hero. To Barack Obama, he would be considered a member of a Nassau County militia. I guess to the liberal pot smoker who frequents Manhattan clubs, the Good Samaritan who chased down the illegal alien who ran over four girls would be considered an evil white male militia member who violated the civil rights of this poor day laborer. And you see, if we had had decent laws in this country, why, number one, he wouldn't have had to run away from the crime. He would have had a license, number two. Now, it is true I think they say he was drunk and ran them over. But you see, that's because of the fear he lives in, the oppression of the white hegemonic society. It makes the Mexican laborer drink at night because they feel like outsiders. If only they felt more at home, they wouldn't have to get drunk after work. And they wouldn't have to drive in their cars in such a reckless manner. So it all comes down to the civil rights of the nation, the human rights, according to Nancy Pelosi. If there were better human rights and civil rights here, let's say on the order of those in Guatemala, or the great civil rights that we know exist in Mexico, why then the day laborer, well, he wouldn't have perhaps run them over. See, that's the liberal mindset. It's a nice mindset to have. They were clinging to the top of the hood, screaming for their lives, and police say they were treated like debris. Stunning revelations surfaced about the driver in the hit-and-run crash that seriously injured four high school students who were heading to the mall. Thank God they're alive, said Anthony Santamore when he saw his daughter Stephanie in the hospital, not yet aware of how she got there. When I walked in, she had a neck brace on and blood all over her, scratches, scrapes on her face. Well, tell that to Mr. Calderon. Tell that to Chuck Schumer, who is in favor of comprehensive immigration reform. He stops to get them all. Here's what happened. Oh, you got the picture? Santamore said, what does that say about him? Stephanie and her three friends were crossing the street when blindsided by a car. His driver never bothered to stop, even as two victims were laying in the street and two more, including his own daughter, were on the hood of the car screaming to stop, stop, stop. What does that say about him, basically? You can classify him as a lowlife, Santamore said of the driver, identified as 26-year-old Elias Garcia of Hempstead. Police said what Garcia did was barbaric, especially in how he successfully got rid of the screaming girls. He stops to get them off his car as you would some debris or a pile of snow off the hood of your car, said Nassau County Police Detective Lieutenant Ray Cote. I guess Obama can now investigate the Nassau County Police Department for racism. They're screaming, they're bleeding as they're holding on for their lives, said Lieutenant Cote. I guess that's a racist observation. Authorities say the day laborer jerked his car to a stop, forcing the two victims to fall off so he could make his getaway. I guess he learned that in Guatemala, is that after you run people over if you're drunk driving, what you do when they're screaming, please stop, is you jerk to a stop so they fall off. As Garcia took off, leaving the four victims in the street, Good Samaritan Steve Loverde sprang into action, and he chased them. Well, maybe they should arrest the Good Samaritan, because he was going 90 miles an hour in a city. And to a liberal, that's a high-speed pursuit. I mean, he raced after him, pulled him out of the car, took his keys away. That's false arrest. That's kidnapping. Waiting for the police? No doubt he did it because of the man's race. There's no question that Garcia was chased because he was a Latino. I mean, we well know that if it was a man who looked like Timothy McVeigh who ran over 4 teenage girls, well, nobody would have chased him down. It's because of the racist pig America that they chased Mr. Garcia. See, you're not seeing things in the way liberals see them. If only you could cleanse the doors of perception, you could see things as they are, infinite, according to the liberal. And so you need to clear up your mind. You need to take another toke of that dope. You need to take another snort of that coke. And then you'll see the world the way the libs see it. Clear and clean and humane. And certainly not racist. No. No, no, no. And that's why you permitted a man like Calderon, a man of a failed narco state, to come here and lecture you about your nation and your nation's civil rights without at once being asked by the degenerate bums called congressmen. Not once did anyone stand up and say, foul play, Calderon. In your country, they treat people like animals. Calderon, how dare you come here and lecture us? What do you do with Guatemalans that you catch in your third world cesspool called Mexico, Calderon? Not one congressman stood up. So you ask why I don't want to go into politics? I wouldn't last a day. If I had to sit through this and not get up and scream out, I wouldn't last a minute, not one second in Congress. And that's why they're being thrown out. And that's why every candidate that Obama backed, everyone four in a row, has lost. If the election were held again today, even that old sad sack McCain would have won by 20 points. If people had known they were electing Karl Marx Jr., if people had known that Vladimir Lenin's grandson was being elected, if people had only known that this radical, delusional, narcissistic college teacher would try to foist all of the most radical policies that he had mused about with his radical friends all those years, they never would have elected him. But the Republicans wanted him elected. I keep telling you that. What you don't know is they planned this. You think they didn't want it. You're mistaken. They did want it. They did want it. Because the way the game is played is it's 8 years Dem, 8 years Repub. 8 years Dem, 8 years Repub. 8 years Dem, 8 years Repub. So that's the problem. That's the pickle we're in. This is the Savage Nation, if you care to comment. Did I take any callers yet today? No, I don't think I took one. It's amazing. Shows you what a day off can do for me. But let's have some Para Vivir music. I want to have some Latin music so they don't think I'm the wrong kind. I mean, I grew up, you know, some of my best friends. I'll play some Latin music. To life. That's the theme song of the Savage Nation. Hasta la victoria siempre. To life. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Trying to wake up America one listener at a time. San Diego Jay, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Jay?
Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. My question for you today is, how is it that you can wake the youth of the nation, the young men, the young women who are coming out of college, indoctrination you, who, you know, hear from their professors every day how they're supposed to think, how they're supposed to act, how they're supposed to vote. How is it that you're going to get those individuals?
You can't. You got to write them off. They're a lost generation. They will eventually learn what's going on, but at that point they'll be much older, you know. Or let's say if they wake up one morning and it's 15,000 degrees and rising over San Diego because one of our Middle Eastern friends walked across the border from Mexico after shaving off his beard, and just before he detonated, he screamed, Allah Akbar. Perhaps then they'll wake up to the threat that they're facing. But I don't even think that would do it. They'd probably get on their hands and knees and beg God of why they were so racist to invoke such anger amongst the radical Islamists. They'll blame themselves because they've been taught that they're evil, that their nation is no good. I can't help them. They're lost. They're a lost generation. They're brain dead.
But you can't even have a discussion anymore. I'm 23 years old, and I just graduated from university. And even when I try to have a discussion with my friends nowadays, it's like they cut me off before I can even finish what I'm saying. I'm viewed as...
What do you mean? You mean they don't want to talk at all? Is that it?
Yeah, well, I'm viewed as some sort of, you know, prehistoric dinosaur. You know, it's like automatically it takes away my education. I'm viewed as ignorant.
Well, that's the problem you're facing today, but you have to then find new friends, and I know it's very hard. And your challenge is something that all people of thought have to have to face from the beginning of time. You have to leave those people. They're not your friends. They're only going to keep you down. They're going to punish you every time you try to advance yourself. You'll make very, very clear decisions if you get away from them. And as hard as it is, to walk away from friends, and believe me, I had to do it 20 years ago in San Francisco. I left behind a bunch of refuse here, and none of them amounted to a damn thing. They thought that they were the smartest people on earth. Nobody ever heard of them, ever. Nobody will ever hear of them, ever. I'm the only one who rose up because I walked away from them. So if you have a clear mind and you see what's going on, then just try to find new friends. You know, I got a minute. I'm going to just tell you something I've been thinking about. I'm trying to think about what to do with myself, you know, in addition to radio, and I'm finding new things. I'm going to set up a scholarship fund, I decided, for conservative students. I mean, I'm thinking about it. I want to give out $25,000 a year scholarships to 20 students who can prove by their publications, let's say a letter or an editorial or whatever they've done, the best essay about America. And I'm not even going to say the, but it's a conservative scholarship, the Michael Savage Conservative Scholarship. And it'll be administered. I'm going to set up an office for it. 20 scholarships, $5,000. I mean, it's not a lot of money, but it is. It's something, isn't it? And it's open to anyone who's registered in a college. And I haven't done it yet. I mean, I'm just musing about this. I just came to this the other night. I want to start trying to do exactly what that young man said. And then at the end of the year, I envision inviting all of the 20 winners out, let us say, to somewhere in America for a big testimonial dinner and all of that. And they read their essays, and we have some big people in the patriotic movement or world come and give them some kind of award, maybe a great congressperson that we really love, like Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann could give it if she wants to. I haven't talked to anybody about it. I'm thinking out loud. What do you think about my idea for conservative scholarships? You like it or not? I'll be back.
Savage.
Saving America, one listener at a time, the Savage Nation. Let's take our callers. Indiana, Courtney, thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Courtney?
Hey, how you doing? Well, you just said how we're half a person, half. Well, I went to a HBCU, historically black college, and
Courtney,
they.
Hold. What'd you just say? What's about a half a person?
You just said that we're thinking in two minds or some kind, right?
Courtney, what is your question, please? I'm not following you.
Okay. Well, my original question was: you mentioned the fifth column. Okay.
Yes.
I've been told of 13 columns, part of the Masonic order, but what exactly is the fifth one?
All right. You want to know what is the fifth column? Okay, good. I use it all the time. I say the fourth estate has become the fifth column. Okay, let's start with this. A fifth column is a group of people who undermine a larger group, such as a nation from within. And this originated back in Spain. In a 1936 radio address by a nationalist general during the 1936 to 1939 Spanish Civil War, as the general's army was approaching Madrid, he broadcast a message that the four columns of his forces outside of the city would be supported by a, quote, fifth column of his supporters inside the city who were intent on undermining the Republican government from within. The fifth column, in other words, is the enemy within. And this has been used in many, many different ways. Let me give you an example. If you go to Wikipedia on this, it's actually a pretty good entry. They give you a whole description of the fifth column. It's funny that on the pop culture, on the same Wikipedia entry, it says the following. Author and radio personality Michael Savage frequently claims that in the United States, the fourth estate has now become the fifth column, which is very interesting that at least they're starting to actually hear what I say. I believe the Playboy article, by the way, set the record straight. The day will come that they come to understand who I actually am, that I'm actually Paul Revere, and they haven't listened to me because they've tried to typecast me as the enemy when I'm actually their best friend. But let's put that aside. What you don't know, I mean, there's so many things you got to know. We heard last week, for example, that there was another a sad little celebration about the internment of Japanese citizens here in the United States. We keep hearing it over and over again, even though it was done by FDR, a socialist president. You don't know that. You would think it was done by someone else. What you don't know is that the reason the Japanese were interned is that because although the majority of Japanese citizens were very loyal to America, the Japanese government had, in fact, planted spies within the Japanese community who were, in fact, signaling to them and sending information to the war-making nation of Japan at that time, who were undermining our war effort. That was a fact of reality. What you also don't know, and this is a shocker to you, I'm sure of it, you don't know this. Did you know that in addition to the Japanese being interned in World War II, did you know that Germans were also interned in World War II? Did you know that Italians were interned? Some Italians were also interned around the same time using similar justification. But the difference is that the Italians didn't make a business out of it. They didn't walk around bellyaching for the rest of their lives about internment. Somehow, the radical left seized upon the Japanese internment only because the fact that they could use race as a weapon against the guilty white liberal. You don't know that Joe DiMaggio's father was a crab fisherman. I know it because I frequent Fisherman's Wharf. You don't know that Joe DiMaggio's father, the fisherman, had his crab boat taken away by the U.S. government because they were afraid that he might use it in some way that was harmful to the war effort. You don't know any of this. You don't know any of it because you are not educated, because I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I'm here to help you put the pieces together, this broken, crazy puzzle, the broken glass of America. But now I've answered what the fifth column is. And now what is the fourth estate is the next question, because I said, when I keep saying the fourth estate has become the fifth column, what do I mean by the fourth estate? Simple. The fourth estate is a term that is always referred to the free press. It goes back to Thomas Carlyle, who attributed to, someone else, way back in the 1700s. So the fourth estate is the press. And what does it mean? It's supposed to mean a press that keeps the political class straight. Thomas Carlyle, in his book on heroes and hero worship, wrote, Burke said there were three estates in Parliament, but in the reporters' gallery yonder, there is a fourth estate more important far than they all, meaning the press. Traditional three estates of Parliament. But then there was a fourth estate, editors, who kept them straight. In those days, they looked at the politicians and they wrote about them. Oscar Wilde said, in old days, men had the rack. Now they have the press. That is an improvement, certainly, but still it is very bad and wrong and demoralizing. Somebody, he said, called journalism the fourth estate. That was true at the time, no doubt, but at the present moment, it is the only estate. It has eaten up the other three. The Lords temporal say nothing, the Lords spiritual have nothing to say, and the House of Commons has nothing to say and says it. We are dominated by journalism, said who? Oscar Wilde. Of course, the fact of the matter is, in America, the press, the free press, used to be known as the fourth branch of government, the independent press. But what do you say about a fourth estate that is nothing but a group of actors for Obama? He gives a speech the other day, something very important to me, on the Freedom of the Press Act, and the stooges are marched in from the press, and they don't ask one question. They're not allowed to ask a question. Instead of jumping up and screaming and saying, hey, foul ball, President Obama, we're the press, we demand, not one stood up and said a word, because the fourth estate had become the fifth column.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Good afternoon. Buenas tardes. I want to again welcome President Calderon to the White House. And Michelle and I are delighted to be hosting the President and First Lady Margarita Zavala and their delegation for this state visit. And we're looking forward to returning the hospitality, the wonderful hospitality that we received in Mexico when we have our state dinner this evening.
El amor se dice cantando, lo demás se lo lleva el viento. El amor es un sentimiento que cuando lo da recibes mucho más del que tú das.
I still can't get over Obama saying we are not defined by our borders in front of the leader of the narco state of Mexico, but by our bonds, B-O-N-D-S. Obama says his visit speaks to a truth of our time in North America and the world in the 21st century. We are not defined by our borders. And they're building a $20 million border control station in Vermont where there's three cars a day. Something is wrong with this picture. What's astounding to me is that the president of the narco state of Mexico, Calderon, has the nerve to get up there and talk about our laws and to say that he's going to help control climate change. It's unbelievable to me. It's astounding to me. So we have a president who is clearly violating the Constitution, clearly in violation of his oath of office, and the nation and the band plays on. If the borders of a nation are dissolved, the nation dies. We know that. When you were in high school, did you ever look at a single cell under a microscope? And what did you notice about the cells, whether they were plant or animal? How could you tell they were even cells? Well, the first thing you learned in high school biology was that a cell was defined by its walls or membranes because they had borders defining them. Without such a border, there is no such thing as a cell. And if the border is punctured, the cell bursts. The life-giving fluid within the cell, the protoplasm, in the case of an animal, oozes out, and the cell dies. The same is true of a nation. And Obama has the audacity to say he wants to destroy the border. The idea of a border is anathema to a liberal like Obama. A border constitutes something specific, well-defined, that makes a distinction between one people and another. Liberals don't like precise definitions. They prefer to impose a definition on something depending on how they feel about it. They don't like the idea that one group of people should be defined any differently than another group of people, even if the differences between them are painfully obvious. Cop and criminal, the same. Illegal alien, legal citizen, the same. That is why when told by a child that her mother was an illegal alien, Michelle Obama, the Madame Defarge of our time, responded not by ordering immigration officials to investigate, but by telling the child that the law should be fixed so that her mother could stay in the country. To the Obamas, if a person breaks the law, it's not the person that's wrong, it's the law. You see, the motto of the left wing since the 1960s has been, if it feels good, do it. Well, if it feels good to be an illegal alien, hey, to a liberal, how could that be wrong? Terrorism in the Middle East, Palestinian the same as the Israeli, the Iranian the same as the American. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in real trouble. What Obama's doing beneath the surface is apparent only to those of us who go with the microscopes and the magnifying glass. Unfortunately for us, most of us don't do it. Most of us only look at the surface. It's like a pond. Today I was bicycling by a pond, and I saw school children observing the nature around the pond, but they weren't looking underneath the pond. That's what I do for you. If you look under the surface of what Obama's doing, it gets worse by the day. A president is sworn to uphold the Constitution and to defend the people, yet this pretender has the nerve to get up and state that a nation is not defined by its borders. This while America is being overrun by Mexicans bringing in drugs, bringing in crime, bringing in illegal aliens. It is unbelievable that a president can say a thing like this without being challenged by anyone in power. No, Mr. Obama, you're wrong. No, Mr. Obama, you should be impeached. No, Mr. Obama, you're violating your oath of office. No, Mr. Obama, a nation is very much defined by its borders, by its language and its culture, not by a petty martinet dictator who says otherwise. No, Mr. Obama, you're wrong. Well, that's the state of affairs that we are in today. Do you know what's happening around the world? Have you seen what's happening in Greece? Do you know what's happening with the economy? Europe bailed them out to the tune of $1 trillion, and gold went to $1,220 an ounce. $1,220 an ounce. But if you look at the inflation-adjusted prices over the past 30 years, gold could go much higher than that. I've told you about my great advertiser, Swiss America, on this program before. You should reach out to them. SwissAmerica.com. The Greeks waited for a bailout. You shouldn't make the same mistake. Don't wait. Swiss America, now. Obama says we're not defined by our borders. And what, presto, we're not defined by our borders? At the same time, he's destroyed the economy while lying about it. The stock market, as you well know, was driven down by his greedy friends on purpose in order to create a financial crisis, in order to usher in the Marxist president that we have. $1 billion, $1 trillion, nothing to them. They said the stimulus money would save the economy. Well, it has. For those who stole the economy, it was saved again. But to the man on the bottom, is it saved? Dow is down 376 points today. Unemployment spike largest in 3 months. German finance minister says market's out of control. Greek strikers marching on parliament saying the cuts are too deep. They don't want to work. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that astounding? You know nothing about it? And what about the state dinner with the head of Mexico? Why was the press not allowed? Middle East? Wow. Hitler says Iran can destroy Israel in a week. North Korea, not stopped by Obama, warns of war if punished for the torpedo strike on a South Korean ship. America does nothing. Meddling Mexican president discussing U.S. laws during visit. Ovation from a criminal Democrat Party. He comes here to rape us with his words, and they stand up and cheer. Astounding. It's interesting to live in interesting times. It's interesting to live in interesting times.
Savage.
We've talked about the president of Mexico, Calderon, at the White House denouncing the Arizona immigration bill. Joining us now with her view on this disgusting visit is Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann.
Michael Savage, thank you for having me on the Savage Nation. I think this whole thing with the state dinner with the president of Mexico coming to Washington, D.C. for a very high-profile state dinner, and which everyone thinks is appropriate, but then here we had a press conference on the lawn of the White House, the People's House, and I don't recall ever seeing a foreign head of state who we are hosting, who we are feeding, who we are giving him the grandest party celebration that we can confer on him, allowing him to speak to a joint session of Congress, conferring upon him every benefit of our country. And he stands on the lawn of the White House and criticizes one of our states and does so in the presence of the President of the United States. And the President of the United States stands by idly and doesn't defend the state of Arizona, doesn't defend what they're doing. In fact, the President almost chimes in. I think, I don't know if I ever recall any other president doing that, allowing a foreign head of state on the people's lawn to castigate one of our own states, and the president doesn't even stand up for our state. I am just kind of amazed and shocked that the president of the United States would do that.
That's crazy. Sorry, crazy.
This afternoon, I am going to be going to a hearing, and it is regarding the International Monetary Fund and the bailouts with Greece. And I think this is something that absolutely nobody wants to tolerate. Here in the last 18 months, all we have seen are bailouts from the $700 billion bailout for Wall Street when the federal government essentially took $700 billion worth of borrowed money from other countries and then proceeded to buy private industry after private industry with it. The federal government bought the largest insurance company in the United States, AIG, and has poured about $180 billion or more down that rat hole. And then we bought the two largest banks in the United States, Citibank and Bank of America. We bought the largest secondary home mortgage companies in the United States, Fannie and Freddie. So now the federal government owns over 50% of all private home mortgages in this country. And today, if you wanted to buy a house, 9 chances out of 10, you're buying your mortgage from Uncle Sam. The federal government took over the student loan industry and now healthcare. So here you have the federal government taking about 51% of the private economy. And as if that isn't enough for bailouts, now the United States taxpayers are forced to bail out Europe. One of the smallest economies in Europe is Greece. The American taxpayers are being forced to pay to buy out these socialists out of their profligate spending. And we already face a high unemployment and record deficits at home. I think we need to get our own fiscal house in order. We have unsustainable debt and deficits. It's leading us down a road to economic ruin.
True.
No matter how large or how small the country, the longer these decisions are ignored by countries like Greece, the worse these consequences are going to be. So I think that we should not only stop these bailouts and rein out in this out-of-control spending, but we have to just start today reducing the national deficit because we're facing a certain fiscal disaster in the very near future. So really all Greece is doing is serving as a movie trailer of things to come for us in the United States within less than the next 10 years. So this $1 trillion European stabilization package from the International Monetary Funding, it's guaranteeing a moral hazard going forward. It's an unprecedented backstop for the profligate Eurozone governments, and it's enabling even more wasteful spending for them. They're never going to lose their incentive for governments to make the difficult decisions that will improve their fiscal health. They're just not going to do it. But I think the thing we have to recognize, too, is that the cost of the Greece bailout isn't just dollars. The other victim is the independence of these European central banks. Remember, the whole creation for the European Union was to give economic competition. Well, how is this economic competition for the United States when we're bailing these people out?
Exactly. This is unbelievable to me.
So anyway, I think that the day of reckoning has come, and we have to stop acting like infants in American government, and we have to start acting like adults. We're living in an age of infantilism when no one wants to take personal responsibility. And I think we need to sober up really quick and start acting like adults before we lose this nation economically. I think another subject that we need to revisit is this idea of American exceptionalism. What makes America exceptional is our idea that's based in liberty. And when we look at President Obama and the statement that he made, he said, I think that the people of Greece and the people of Britain also see their nations as exceptional nations, just as the way the United States sees our nation as exceptional. Well, if we're all exceptional, then no one's exceptional. It's kind of like giving every kid in the class a trophy and saying that nobody can rise above anyone else. That's kind of like the way the United States government wants to operate right now. They really don't want to have winners and losers. I think that's part of what's fostering the bailout mentality, because government is saying no one can fail unless we, the government, decide you're allowed to fail, because government is choosing who the winners and losers are. Ultimately, the losers are the debt-paying generation. The debt-paying generation are the 5 to 30-year-olds. Here's an example. Just the stimulus package, which was about $1 trillion worth of debt service, for the debt-paying generation, those are 5 to 30, this is what it will mean for them. It will be as though they will spend 45 years in the workforce of their life. For every month that they're in the workforce, they will have to essentially go out and buy a full-size iPod, give it to the federal government the next month, buy another full-size iPod, give it to the federal government. Every month for 45 years, the debt-paying generation is on the hook for paying that much into the federal government just to pay for this stimulus bill.
Oh, my God.
Now, remember, the stimulus bill was an abject failure. President Obama said we had to spend this $1 trillion in money, otherwise unemployment would go above 8%. Well, now unemployment has been hovering around 10%, and the Obama administration is telling us that's the new normal. That's not the new normal. The new normal will be when Speaker Nancy Pelosi loses her job in November. That will be the new normal. But here's part of the reason why this is such a freak show. Fannie Mae, the secondary home mortgage company, we're just finding out, back in 2005, actually applied for a patent with a patent office for a cap and trade system. Now think of this. Here's a government-sponsored entity whose purpose is to provide home mortgages for people, and they're straying from that vision of providing home mortgages to now wanting to get into the business of another Ponzi scheme, which is the cap-and-trade system, which is to sell permits, which is essentially a national energy tax. This has always been about schemes to raise money for people who are politically connected to the White House. And I think we need to have more investigations, call it for what it is, and call this out, because the level of corruption right now in various areas of government is really beyond what people can stomach. And we need more investigations to get to the bottom of a lot of these Ponzi schemes.
Where can we read more?
I want to invite people to go to my website, michellebachman.com, where I have introduced the bill in Congress to fully 100% repeal Obamacare. It is H.R. 4903, and if people go to michellebachman.com, I ask them to sign my petition so we can repeal Obamacare, hook, line, and sinker.
Michelle Bachman, thanks for standing up for America, and thanks for being on The Savage Nation.
It's always a privilege. Thank you.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Joining us now in the Savage Nation with an exclusive report is Jack Hunter.
It's good to be with you, Michael. With Tuesday's primaries, what we saw was the Republican establishment, if you will, or even better than that, the Washington establishment, took a real beating. You had the situation with Arlen Specter, who was an establishment Republican. You know, his opponent, Joe Sestak, who won that primary, that Democratic primary, ran these ads that showed President Bush saying, you know, Arlen Specter's a guy you can count on. He's an ally in any fight and yada, yada, and he's a great guy. And he also Specter ran ads of Obama basically saying, Arlen Specter's a great guy and you can count on him to fight for the working men and women of Pennsylvania. Well, you know what? Both Bush and Obama were absolutely right. Arlen Specter's always been an establishment guy in Washington, D.C. No matter which party he's serving or which brand of politics he subscribes to, it's the same brand. It's Arlen Specter's brand. And he rightfully went down on that. That was an establishment guy in Washington getting his justice deserts. That doesn't mean that Joe Sestak's necessarily great. It just means that people were fed up with Arlen Specter-type politicking. They saw right through it. It was transparent. The same thing happened in Kentucky, where Rand Paul, 59% to Trey Grayson's 35%. Rand Paul, of course, the son of presidential candidate in 2008, Ron Paul, ran on his father's reputation, as well as, more than that, being a libertarian-minded, Barry Goldwater, old-style conservative who's concerned about spending, who's concerned about the national debt, and who translated that Tea Party message, stop spending, we can't have these debts and deficits, to a wider audience, and that was his success there. He was running against the establishment. Now, Trey Grayson was the Secretary of State in Kentucky. He was an incumbent of sorts, but not the sort of incumbent. He wasn't a sitting senator. They were running for Jim Bunning's seat. Jim Bunning endorsed Rand Paul. Rand Paul was running against the establishment still, though, with Trey Grayson. Let's look at Trey Grayson. He was endorsed by Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. He was endorsed by former Vice President Dick Cheney. Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York City. He was endorsed by Rick Santorum. These are very establishment Republicans, sort of the old guard, if you will, Bush Republicans. Who was Rand Paul endorsed by? Sarah Palin, no matter what you think about her. That's golden in the Republican primary. Jim DeMint, the right-wing senator, right-wing hero, if you will, from my own state of South Carolina. Rand Paul was endorsed by Steve Forbes. He was endorsed by James Dobson. So you had this sort of split of the grassroots Tea Party conservative, being Rand Paul, running against the establishment candidate, Trey Grayson. In any other election year, Trey Grayson would have sailed past that primary and probably won the general election, and Mitch McConnell would have had a puppet up there in Washington, D.C., and Trey Grayson. That's not what's happening anymore, whether in the race with Arlen Specter, where he went down in defeat, or here with Rand Paul with his victory. 59% to 35%. That is amazing. That is a butt whooping, if you will. You can't get any more trounced than that. It was against the establishment. The Tea Party people carried Rand Paul's campaign, and he's not running from that. When he won, he said the Tea Parties have been heard loud and clear. That's what this is about. And that's really where conservatism in general needs to be right now. Stop spending money. That old narrative where if you just vote Republican, you know, everything's going to be okay. Well, that didn't work during the George W. Bush years. And Mitch McConnell and the Republican establishment were determined to put another Bush-style old guard establishment Republican in Trey Grayson into that Senate seat where they could go to Washington, D.C., call themselves conservative, and get on with business as usual, which is usually with both Republicans and Democrats growing government.
Exactly.
And Rand Paul, the Tea Party voters there in Kentucky, and hopefully voters at large in the general election, I think Rand Paul probably will win the general election. He's going to be attacked as an extremist, this, that, and the other. But those voters see the genuine conservative in that race. They recognize the real deal when they see it. And that's what carried him in that election, no question about it. Another interesting aspect of the Rand Paul victory, it sort of draws a dividing line in the conservative movement. When you have guys like Dick Cheney endorsing his opponent, Trey Grayson, and saying, well, I've been a Republican all my life, I've been a conservative all my life, and when I look at this race, the true conservative is Trey Grayson. And so many Tea Partiers disagree with the narrative put out there by Dick Cheney concerning this race. They see the real conservative as Rand Paul. It draws a line down the middle.
Why do you say that?
What I mean by that is, for so long, whether on social issues or you know, people say they're more for national security than somebody else, people sort of pretend to be conservative and they keep growing government. I'm talking about on the Republican side, the Bush administration. Dick Cheney's a good example of that. When a guy like Rand Paul comes along, let's take the abortion issue. Initially, the Trey Grayson campaign was saying, well, you know, Rand Paul is pro-choice because he does not support some national amendment to ban abortion. Of course, that's not entirely true. Rand Paul does support an amendment to ban abortion. But the way they were portraying it as Rand Paul's position, which is a state's rights position, that we should overturn Roe versus Wade and let each state decide, which is the constitutional position, that somehow that wasn't strong enough. That's what the Grayson camp sort of parlayed to James Dobson, a focus on the family and a very Christian evangelical mover and shaker in the Republican Party. And he initially endorsed Grayson based on that. Then he got a couple of calls from OBGYNs and from Rand Paul himself, and he realized, no, that state's right position is the pro-life position. That's the way it should be. I bring that up because sort of those old guard establishment Republicans use social issues like abortion or maybe gun rights, which, of course, Rand Paul is a strong Second Amendment supporter, and they say, well, we stand for this. That gets them by in primaries and elections, and then they go up there on Capitol Hill, don't do anything, really, in the way of trying to promote pro-life positions or promote more freedoms as it relates to the Second Amendment and guns. They don't do anything about that, and they grow government, and they get away with it because they say, well, they're conservative on these other issues. People are finally beginning to see beyond that. That's what you saw with Rand Paul and Trey Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Grayson used every Republican cliche you could possibly think of. Oh, well, Rand Paul is too extreme. He's too libertarian. They even had a website, Too Kooky for Kentucky. Well, what does Rand Paul respond to with that? He reads Conscience of a Conservative by Barry Goldwater during a debate. And he basically says, I'm a constitutionalist. If it's not in the Constitution, I'm not going to support it. Republicans haven't talked like that since the days of Barry Goldwater and perhaps Ronald Reagan. They don't talk like that anymore, and when a guy like Rand Paul does come along, these Republicans we have today who have pretended to be conservative for so long don't know what to do with it, recognize him as the enemy because they're just as status as the Democrats in many instances, and will do everything they can to ignore or marginalize his existence and make sure victories like what happened yesterday don't happen. Well, they did. The Republican establishment is not happy. You're going to see Mitch McConnell, I think, this Saturday at this so-called unity rally joining with Rand Paul, and he's going to be doing it by grinning and bearing it. He doesn't like it, and that is hope for conservatism when guys like Rand Paul can get through Republican primaries, and better yet, Tea Party voters, the grassroots, can see through the charade that we've been sold by the Republican Party up to this point, guys like Rand Paul win.
Oh, we saw this all over the country.
Well, that's certainly true. You know, Kentucky with Rand Paul and Trey Grayson, that was big news. I mean, 59-35%. You had the situation, of course, as we mentioned earlier, with Arlen Specter. That was a Democratic primary, but it's worth noting that People saw through the phoniness that was Arlen Specter, that old politics. People are tired of it. Blanche Lincoln, who was considered the establishment candidate there in Arkansas, barely squeaked that out. That's going to be a runoff. But once again, it's people looking at the establishment. We're tired of the same old politics. We see this time and again. And Tuesday's primaries were a prime example of that. Things are really changing out there in the American electorate. People are finally seeing through the old politics. I think it's encouraging, really, on both sides, liberal or conservative. I'm a conservative, so I'm more concerned about what the Republican Party is doing and advancing genuine conservatism. But it was certainly an interesting day and an encouraging day in many ways. What I sort of hope for, and I know I've been concentrating on the Rand Paul race, and it's true that this goes much beyond Kentucky. I think that's a big deal in this respect. If a guy who's as hardcore a constitutionalist as Rand Paul could come along and actually be successful in the Republican Party, that is encouraging for conservatives. A concern of mine is the extent to which he's been ignored to this point, whether on some of our some of your peers in talk radio, Michael Savage, who haven't really paid attention to the campaign much, or even Fox News, who you and I both criticize accordingly. They sort of ignore guys like Rand Paul or sort of insurgent candidates, maybe like Marco Rubio at one point. I would like to see as much attention paid to these insurgent grassroots candidates as the Republican establishment. In other words, if Trey Grayson had won that campaign, it was now Trey Grayson versus the Democrat Jack Conway, would sort of the Republican media establishment be talking about that race more, or would have been talking about it up to the victory more than they have since Rand Paul has won and up to his winning, if you see what I'm saying? I would like to see more coverage of genuine conservatives instead of marginalizing and downplaying their existence. I think that's important.
Thanks for the report, Jack.
It was good to talk to you again, Michael. And for more, you can go visit SouthernAvenger.com.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Recently adopted law in Arizona to introduce a terrible idea using racial profiling as a basis for law enforcement. And that is why I agree with President to say the new law carries a great amount of risk when core values that we all care about are breached.
Obama had the nerve to say that our nation is not defined by its borders.
Your visit speaks to a truth of our time in North America and the world. In the 21st century, we are defined not by our borders, but by our bonds. So I say to you and to the Mexican people, let us stand together. Let us face the future together. Let us work together. Trabajemos juntos.
Mr. Obama, you're wrong. You're violating your oath of office. A nation is very, very clearly defined by its borders. What's more, he continued to attack the Arizona immigration law, even though it mimics federal law, which he criminally refuses to follow.
I want everyone, American and Mexican, to know my administration is taking a very close look at the Arizona law. We're examining any implications, especially for civil rights, because in the United States of America, no law-abiding person, be they an American citizen, a legal immigrant, or a visitor or tourist from Mexico, should ever be subject to suspicion simply because of what they look like.
Obama even seems to want to change the name of the White House.
Michelle and I are extraordinarily honored as we host you, but most importantly as we host President Calderon and First Lady Margarita Zavala. Yes, I'm sorry. Please be seated. We welcome them and the Mexican delegation for our second state dinner here at the White House tonight, La Casa Blanca. And so, Mr. President, I propose a toast to the dreams of our children. Together, may we realize those dreams, and together, may we deserve them by going forward in partnership and respect. Cheers. Salud.
And while Obama is toasting the illegals, Madame Defarge Michelle is talking to their children. Not the children of Americans, but the children of illegal aliens.
She says that Barack Obama's taking
everybody away that doesn't pass papers.
Yeah, well, that's something that we have to work on, right? To make sure that people can be here with the right kind of papers, right? That's exactly right. Yeah, well, we have to work on that. We have to fix that. And that everybody's got to work together in Congress to make sure that that happens. That's right.
And guess who else is back to attack the Arizona immigration law? None other than the war criminal, Madeleine Halfbright.
As an immigrant, I find this issue a very difficult one. Nothing is more important in my life than having become an American. And this country has been built on many, many immigrants contributing everything that we can to the greatness of this country. And I definitely agree with President Obama when he says that the system at the moment is broken.
She's an immigrant, too? I suppose her parents didn't flee Hitler.
I'm not a pundit, so I really can't answer some of the political part of this. But I think that always in a period when there are economic difficulties, that people try to find some way to find somebody who's to blame. But I think, actually, if one looks at the history of America, it has been strengthened by people coming from overseas and literally contributing their blood, sweat, and tears to the building of this great country. So I hope very much that we can not have an approach or a law in one state that, in fact, reflects on the feelings of the whole country. There are people coming in from a variety of countries, and it is a big issue. We're a very mobile world. But I think America has been known for being the beacon of freedom and the Statue of Liberty and give me your tired and your hungry. And so I think it's sad. I think a lot of people do understand that it is just one state, and they are looking to Congress and the president to rectify it.
That's a bunch of malarkey, Halfbright. Go rectify a brisket. We'll keep talking about this and other topics on the show today, but let's stop for a minute. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today.
El amor se dice cantando, lo demás se lo lleva el viento. El amor es un sentimiento que cuando lo das recibes mucho más del que tú das.
Let's go to michaelsavage.com. Many of you are flooding there every day. Calderon denounces Arizona despite laws in his own country. Oh, really? You mean in Mexico they're open to people coming in from Guatemala? No. Oh, no, they have to carry papers, you see. They stop them in Mexico. Beat them, rape them, jail them. What America has come to. Did you see it? Take a look at the guests who came to the state dinner. Did you see Whoopi Goldberg?
Yeah.
Did you see the picture of Whoopi Goldberg wearing a leftover burqa without the head covering? That's invited to the White House. A failed old Whoopi cushion. Frustrated senators press for National Guard on the border. They're overrunning the Southwest. And Obama says we're not defined by our borders. There is good news. An Arizona power official has threatened to react to Los Angeles's boycott of Arizona. And he said, if you want to boycott Arizona, you better get used to reading by candlelight because we'll cut off all power from Arizona to Los Angeles.
Good for them.
Calderon to Congress, reinstate assault weapons ban. The head of the narco state of Mexico said that while they respected the U.S. Constitution's guarantees on gun owners' rights, he wants us to give up our guns. And, of course, the director of Homeland Security, the incompetent failed Big Sis, probably is loving that. Pelosi predicts for sure that Dems will win the House, but will be reelected easily. Would you buy a used lasagna from this woman? If she sent you frozen calamari, with love, would you eat it? Rhode Island to follow in Arizona's footsteps? Wow. You mean they may put in the same law? U.S. wants to build up Hezbollah moderates, so-called. That would be like saying we want to build up Gestapo moderates. Is he crazy? Well, some people are saying Obama is psychotic. Really? How do you like that? Lenders to prop up bank with Obama ties. Doesn't sound like he's too psychotic to me. Intelligence agencies all failed us over the Christmas bombing plot. Every member of the intelligence community was flat-footed on that one. Kagan hearing to begin June 28th. All on michaelsavage.com, as well as the famous Playboy interview that nobody wants to talk about because I look too good. Most beautiful Ferraris of all time. I found that up on a website today and linked up on it. Unbelievable. Only morons, cheats, and liars still believe in global warming, says James Dellingpole. Don't miss it. Don't miss this. Don't miss this one. You can find it only on michaelsavage.com. And by the way, you're not going to believe it, but I put a new printing up of Healing Children Naturally. I did it for you, honest to God, a small printing. It's almost gone. Written by a parent and author of 17 books on the subjects of health and nutrition, A to Z Natural Approaches for Natural Complaints, Healing Children Naturally by Michael Savage, only on michaelsavage.com, not in bookstores. All on michaelsavage.com.
Professor Savage.